Amen. Welcome. Whoa. What happened? Somebody else here? Amen. God bless you. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. I thought maybe someone else was behind me. Amen. But thank you. Let's give a warm welcome to all of our family, our friends, and all of our locations. It's incredible what God is doing. Welcome, guys. We love you. Very much. Father, I just love you and I thank you for these precious people, their families, and just what you're doing in the earth. Thank you, Jesus, that you will, I believe, appear and your kingdom will manifest in this earth soon. And we're excited about that. It's in your name that we have gathered and now seek your face. Amen and amen. Well, I want to continue sharing on the subject of grace and truth and how that Jesus, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, was full of grace and truth. God has this perfect harmony within his person of his amazing grace, which includes his love and mercy toward us, and truth, which involves biblical principles, kingdom principles that are everlasting, and how that these are in perfect harmony. And we've come to the place in the teaching that I want to share now on something that was very confusing for me for years, created some anxiety in my heart and life, and I've literally been able to help thousands of people with this issue, and I just want to better equip you with understanding over this issue and to help your friends and your family, and that's the issue of what Jesus talked about in regards to an unforgivable sin, or an unpardonable sin. Or the way I was raised, it was referred to most of the time as blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? What is an unpardonable sin? What is this sin the Bible talks about that you can't be forgiven of? I actually thought perhaps I had committed this sin early in my Christian life. And because of the death of my brother and the confusion that brought on my entire family and the brokenness, and you've heard my story, I basically just walked away from the Lord. I just felt like I couldn't serve Him, that I couldn't live up, I couldn't measure up. Religious people, well-intending but totally confused, I believe, tried to comfort our family and literally said things like, God took my brother as punishment for our sins, that we had committed these sins that brought the death of my brother. And man, I need to cut to the chase, but I'm so glad that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to die for our sins, not killing our sin or sons for our sins. And so that was a huge thing in my life. And when I met Sue, my wife, she witnessed to me. And in the witnessing to me, I kept telling her, hey, I've walked with the Lord. I tried to serve the Lord. I failed miserably, and I've walked away. I chose to walk away. And so I kept telling her, I've gone too far. There's no way God can forgive me. And man, she wasn't shook. She knew the Jesus of the Bible, and she had a revelation of the cross, and she kept just hammering me with the love of God and how that it's not a matter of if God will forgive me for my sins. God had already forgiven me 2,000 years earlier at the cross for all of my sins. And somehow I went from thinking I blasphemed the Holy Spirit to an open vision of the cross that has absolutely fueled every part of my life and ministry, even up to this point. So I know how this feels, to feel like maybe you've gone too far. I know how it feels to think maybe I've committed a sin that is an unforgivable sin, an unpardonable sin. Maybe I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because I heard so many things coming up even in church. And again, we live in a culture that really likes this grace message and a side of the grace message of God loves everybody and God has forgiven everyone and Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And so that right there resonates in even a lost world. But then when you come along and try to explain the truth concerning maybe God loves you and He loves you unconditionally, but do you love Him? While God has extended in grace, great mercy and forgiveness, will you respond in faith? And on we could go with this balance of grace and truth that I'm sharing on. So let's talk about this sin. And I don't want to get into this too deep, because you can really get in deep. I want to make this simple, because God made it simple finally for me. And I can't tell you the peace that it brought to my life and heart, and how I've been able to help so many other people. So we're going to keep it simple, even though it can be difficult. All right? In Matthew 12, verses 30 through 32, this is Jesus' response to the Pharisees that have falsely accused him. Jesus, in this chapter, I've given you the chapter, you can look this up. He just healed a blind man, and he was dumb, meaning he couldn't talk. What's your excuse? Amen. He was dumb in the sense of he could not speak. And so Jesus heals this guy, and the crowd goes wild. And you can imagine a sign and a wonder like that would stir you up if you really saw that. And so they're all saying, could this be the Messiah, the Son of David? So they're asking the question, is he the promised Messiah? And this could be him. Well, the Pharisees overheard that, and they were rejecting Jesus as Messiah. They were not accepting him as God's Messiah. And so the way they showed their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that would come to save us from our sins, they falsely accused him of creating this miracle by the power of the devil. So they said to those who thought Jesus might be the Messiah, well, that's a miracle, but he cast the devil out by the prince of devils, by Beelzebub. And so they, in their way of rejecting Jesus, falsely accused him of a false sign and a wonder. Now, I was taught literally that when you say something is of the devil that was God, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Well, remember, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, it's an unpardonable sin. And so how many people have said healing isn't God, that's the devil? They haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit, they just don't have wisdom. How many people have said that prosperity is not of God, that's of the devil? That's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's just not understanding Scripture and God's will to prosper you. How many people have said that the gifts of the Holy Spirit or speaking with other tongues, that's the devil? That's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it's just not smart. Amen. And so Jesus goes on now to make this statement after they rejected him as the Messiah, and the way they rejected him was by falsely accusing him of a false sign and a wonder. He says, so join with me, for if you're not on my side, you're against me. Now see, people don't want to hear that in our world today. They don't want to hear that even at church anymore, that if you're not on the Lord's side, you're against him. And if you refuse to help me gather the spoils, you are making things worse. This is why I warn you, for God will forgive people for every sin and blasphemy they have committed except one. There is one sin. He says, there is no forgiveness for the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then he says, if anyone speaks evil of me, the Son of Man, he can be forgiven. Now think about that. If you speak evil against God, or you speak evil against the Son of God, or sin against him, you can be forgiven. But if anyone contemptuously speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven him, now or ever. Now I don't know if you can feel that, but I used to feel that. And it's really strong. In the sense of Jesus is saying there is one sin and it's against the Holy Spirit. And if you commit that sin, you can't be forgiven of that sin. Well, anybody who's honest, anyone at least within the sound of my voice, you wouldn't be listening to me right now if you weren't seeking God. Now, I do know what time of the year it is, and maybe some of you were drug here. Others of you were drugged before you came here. Amen. I get it. But basically, people want to know the truth. Basically, people want to hear who God is and how God really is. And they're seeking the things of God. And when I think of people like that, surely you would take this seriously. What is the one sin that is a sin against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven now or forever? And even before he said that, you can sin against the Son of God. You can commit sins against God. But if you sin one specific sin, that's what you've got to hear and see. That sin cannot be forgiven. So as one who loved God, even in my early teens, I wanted to know, God, what is that sin? I don't want to commit that sin if there's one sin that can't be forgiven. So this was important to me. Now, Mark tells the same story, and there's the reference. You can look it up because Matthew spoke of this. Mark spoke of this. And we're going to look at what Luke said about this. And then John, all four Gospels deal with a sin, one sin, that if it's committed against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. So let's see what Luke said in Luke 12. I can assure you of this. If you don't hold back, but freely declare in public that I am the Son of Man, the Messiah, I will freely declare you to all the angels of God that are mine. In other words, he's saying, if you publicly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, Jesus will publicly in heaven profess your name before the angels. But look at this. He says, but if you publicly pretend that you don't know me, I will deny you before the angels of God. That's pretty huge. That if I publicly say, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, I believe He's the Son of God, I believe He came and died for my sins that were deep and wide and has cleansed me of them, and on the third day He rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Bible says, I will be saved. We don't even know what we've been saved from, most of us that go to church our whole lives. Amen. I don't have time now to run that down because I got to keep it simple and stick with the message. But I don't know what you've been saved from, but I've been saved from the wrath of God to come. That is going to be manifest on this planet again one day. And I've been saved from that because I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and have confessed Him as my Lord. If anyone speaks evil of me, the Son of Man, he can be forgiven. But watch this. But if anyone scornfully speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven. So evidently there's something that can be done against the Holy Spirit that you can't be forgiven of. You can do this, this, and this. You can fail here. You can stumble miserably over here and be forgiven of all of this, 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 and this, and receive your forgiveness. But there's one sin that's against the Holy Spirit that you can't be forgiven of. Well, again, I want to know, what is the unforgivable sin then? All right, John's gospel tells us what that sin is in simplicity. Jesus is about to depart. And I stand in amazement of the statements he made in John chapter 16 to his disciples. And how that they had been with him for 3.5 years. And how many of you know, if you're walking daily with Jesus in the flesh 3.5 years, you kind of like hanging out with this guy. No? Okay. Man, I like kind of hanging out with a guy that every... I mean, he goes to a funeral and they get out of the casket. Amen? I mean, that... They're like, wow, I can't wait for the next funeral. He's going down the road. There's a blind guy, you know, crying out to him, and he just heals the guy. And lame people are getting up. I mean, I don't know about you, but a day with Jesus is pretty powerful. Amen. And so at the end of his ministry, though, he makes these profound statements about he's leaving and that it was better for them if he leaves. He says here in verse 7 of John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. That would have been hard to process. What do you mean it's better that you go away? We're having the time of our life. How many of you'd like to see a little boy's lunch? Two fish and a few loaves feed 5,000 men alone. After this guy prays over it, it's like, that's the kind of guy you're going to invite over to pray. Amen. He says, it's better for you to go that I go away. How? How could that be? For if I do not go away, the helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. See, if Jesus was still here in a physical body, in one place and in one physical body, then he's limited by space and geography. And what are the chances he would be here with us? Well, actually, it's high probability he'd be here. But if he's here in the flesh and in one body, he can't be anywhere else in the world. But what if he leaves, since the Holy Spirit raised from the dead, and now everybody who believes in him becomes his body on the earth? Now you got a global expression of Jesus throughout the world. Throughout the world. That's why it's better, is because now Jesus and his Spirit, who he is and what he is not limited to one physical body in one physical place. But that Jesus now lives in you and me worldwide as the body of Christ. Now watch what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. And when he has come, he will convict the world of what?
Sin.
Notice it's sin, singular. And of what?
Righteousness.
And of what?
Yes.
Now you talk about three things that we've been confused about as the church. It just seems like forever. Is those three simple, go back. Is those simple three statements right there? If you ask most, even Christians, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin. Not sins, but sin, one sin. And of righteousness. And what does that mean? That's our next series, I hope, unless something changes in me, the next series I'm going to have to pick up would be righteousness by faith, because of trying to balance out again grace and truth here. But the bottom line is, then he says of judgment. Ask him about judgment. You talk about confused. But he makes it clear in the next verse. He defines all three. He says of sin. What sin? Because they do not believe in me. There's one sin that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of, and that's their unbelief in the Messiah that came to save them from all their sins. So he tells you what the sin is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of. Unbelief in Jesus. How many of you know if Jesus died for all your sins and you reject him, your sins remain? How many of you know if Jesus is the only sacrifice, his blood is the only blood that is the blood of God that can cleanse away sin, and you reject that, there's no other blood anywhere else that can save you. So he's convicted them of that. Now look at this. This is going to rock somebody's world. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What in the world does righteousness with God have to do with Jesus leaving and being with the Father and we seeing him no more? How many of you know his resurrection is your justification? And how many of you know that the Holy Spirit's been sent to convict us of righteousness? Whenever you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit's not jumping on you and condemning you for what you're doing wrong. He'll convict you of the fact you're righteous and truly holy in the presence of God, and that you need to walk out of that. He doesn't convict me of any of my sins. He convicts me of my righteousness with Jesus. So turn from sin now. Look at the next one. Of judgment. That's right. Boy, God will burn your barley fields. You better straighten up and act right. And if you don't quit this, God is going to get you. And on it goes with the things I was taught about God's judgment now on me. And yet nothing but mercy and goodness is upon me right now in Jesus. He says of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What you're supposed to know is that the devil's been stripped and defeated and put under your feet, and you've got authority and power in the name of Jesus to keep him under your feet. He's been judged. The devil can't run over us like most Christians allow him to run over them. He doesn't have any authority in us. He doesn't have any place in us. He's been judged. I saw him fall like lightning through the resurrection of Jesus. And now I can rebuke him. I don't have to enter into these temptations. I don't have to be lorded over by demonic powers any longer, because Jesus judged him, stripped him of all his authority and power, and gave you and I his name, his armor, his power now to ship the devil's saddle home. Amen. We can overcome the devil in any realm or challenge we face in this life, because God's already judged him. Amen. All right, the first one, he goes, it's the sin of unbelief. He said the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin. What sin? Smoking? Amen or oh me. Now see, I don't have time to explain all that. I'm not condoning smoking. But I was literally brought up in a circle where if you smoked a cigarette, you were going to hell. And that is not true. You will smell like you've been there, but you will not go to hell if you smoke a cigarette. Now watch this. I don't know why we can't think. Why we can't read and just be like children and believe the Word of God in simplicity. If the Holy Spirit is convicting a lost person even of smoking and they quit smoking, will they be saved? See, you know the answer. Them quitting smoking won't save them. The Holy Spirit's not convicting them of smoking, of drinking, of all these other things. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. What sin? Unbelief. That is what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. That's the unforgivable sin, is the Holy Spirit revealing to you who Jesus is and your need for Jesus and you rejecting that conviction of who Jesus is. And no matter what the world and the backslidden church is preaching in this hour, while God loves everyone and why Jesus died for everyone, and God has literally reconciled the whole world back unto Himself, you have to believe and receive the forgiveness of your sins in order to be born again now, in order to be changed and cleansed from all of your sins. And it's the Holy Spirit that is convicting everybody of who Jesus is. This is why I can relax and enjoy God and pastoring and working with you and fellowshipping with you and not stressing out over people rejecting Jesus. The Holy Spirit is speaking to everyone that they need God. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to the atheist since they chose to be an atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 1 that God has revealed Himself to every man, even His Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His eternal power, so that people will not have an excuse in the day of judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts us of unbelief. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the sin of rejecting Jesus, rejecting the cross, rejecting His blood, and our need to be forgiven of our sins. And everyone knows that's the truth. Everyone that has bit into false religion knows Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to everybody. And that's the sin if we commit. If anybody commits, can't be forgiven. Watch this. If all of my sins were paid for at the cross, and it was the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all my sin, if I reject that sacrifice, then the only sin that can't be forgiven is the rejection of Jesus now, the rejection of the cross, unbelief. And while I had made a lot of mistakes and while I did a lot of bad things, I definitely had not rejected Jesus. I definitely had not sinned against that conviction of who Jesus is. Let me show this to you in Hebrews chapter 10, because these scriptures paralyze many Christians because of the way it's read and them not understanding what I just said to you. They read this and they panic. And so don't panic. If you panic, hang on. Don't get up with your hair on fire. Let me walk you through it and get you off the cliff. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. You have to have a profession of faith in Jesus. You've got to acknowledge Him before men before He'll acknowledge you before angels. All right? He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Jesus is faithful to us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. There is a day we've been approaching since the resurrection of Jesus. It's the day of the Lord. It's the return of the Lord. It's the appearing of Jesus and His kingdom. And we're headed for that day. And He says, don't quit assembling, but keep encouraging one another as we see that day approaching. See, people quitting church is not new. It was happening in the first century church. And so He's encouraging us, don't do that. And then look at this. For if we sin willfully, All right. If we sin willfully, I got it in yellow so you can remember it. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. There's a day coming that God is going to judge the world by this man, Jesus. He says, he that despised, you need to remember that, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who hath, number one, trod underfoot the Son of God. Number two, counted the blood of the covenant, whereby he was sanctified, an unholy thing. Number three, hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Those are huge statements. Those are weighty, weighty comments and scripture. And yet, how could I go to church my whole life and nobody explain this to me? Because again, if you just read that without an understanding of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand the unforgivable and unpardonable sin, that's not going to make any sense to you. Watch this as it unfolds. He said, if we sin willfully, verse 26. Now this is going to make you nervous. You don't have to respond. Just be cool through this, okay? Everybody stay calm and cool at all our locations, please. Do not react. Just be cool. How many of you, since you got saved, have willfully sinned? I can't believe you're that bold. I didn't want you to raise your hand. But I appreciate, and yes, you too. I'm looking at you. Now, I guarantee you, if people are honest, there is nobody that can say, since they got saved, they've not committed one sin, and that you didn't willfully do it. Since I've gotten saved, I've sinned. I've fallen, I've failed. I can truthfully say many things I did just stumble. I didn't plan it. I wasn't even tempted. I just did a piece of stupid. Come on now, a couple of you have done that before too. You didn't even plan it. You just done dumb. Dumb to the second power. Said something you knew you shouldn't have said. Demonstrated anger. When the minute you were doing it, you were convicted that that's not righteous, right? That's not you. That's not who you are in Christ. And then there's some things that you were tempted in the morning and you said no to it, and by noon you jumped over the cliff. Amen. So see, I would read something like that. What do you mean willful sin? Half of the sins I committed today were willful. Does that mean I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit then? And if that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, Jesus said I can't be forgiven of it. So I'm toast anyway. And yet there are Christians that will look you in the eye and say, well, I've never sinned since I got saved. They just did. They're lying, I guarantee you, or they're deceived. If we say we've not sinned, John in 1 John, he says, man, chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. Because I'm righteous and truly holy in my spirit that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, but I've had bad thoughts since I got saved. I've had a bad attitude since I got saved. I've said things I shouldn't have said since I got saved. See, sin is in word, thought, or even deed. Sin's not even what we've done wrong. James says, for us to know to do good, not do it, we've sinned. Man, I got everybody now. It's like, well, sin is when I do something wrong against and violate God's law, right? Yep. Sin is also when you know what's right to do and you don't do it. So what in the world is he talking about? Notice, if we sin willfully, if we sin willfully, then he tells you what this willful sin is. In verse 28, he says, they that rejected the law of Moses, They that rejected Moses, I don't know why I worded it that way, rejected of Moses, it's not right in the notes, we'll try to fix that, but they that rejected the law of Moses, wait a minute, they that rejected of Moses, we did not word that right. My bad. They that rejected the law of Moses, I had some dyslexic moment, I don't know. They that rejected the law of Moses were stoned by two or three witnesses versus they that were breaking it. How many of you know under the law of Moses, everybody broke it? You didn't know that? Nobody kept it. Under the law of Moses, everybody broke it. Listen, everybody sinned. What was available if you sinned? The sacrifices, the priesthood, the offerings for your sin. But he says they that despised Moses' law were stoned by two or three witnesses. There's a difference in breaking the law, sinning, and rejecting and despising the law. Everyone broke the law, but there were sacrifices. They that despised it were punished with wrath. All right? Verse 29 outlines the one sin. The one sin. Verse 29 outlines the one sin that is an unforgivable sin. And it's unforgivable now and forever. Amen. There's a lot of teaching going around in the body of Christ that violates all these passages. And a lot of it's done in the name of grace. Well, I'm all about grace and I'm for grace, but Jesus was full of grace and truth. What does the word say? It outlines this one sin. Number one, whoever commits this is sinning against the Holy Spirit. What is this sin? They trample the Son of God underfoot. Look at this. Count Jesus' blood as an unholy thing. Do you know how many people reject Jesus, reject the cross, because they don't believe that He, A, is the Son of God, B, that His blood is holy, and it's the only blood that can wash away our sins. Hey, I have sinned since I got saved. But I have not trampled the Son of God under my feet, and I will never, ever count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing whereby I've been sanctified and then done despite to the spirit of what? See, doing despite to the spirit of grace is saying, I don't need God. It's saying, I don't believe His blood is holy and righteous and that my sin is any worse than anybody else's sin and I don't need to be cleansed and washed from all of my sin. You trod underfoot the Son of God. The sin of unbelief is a horrible, horrible sin that cannot be forgiven of. The only sin that wasn't paid for on the cross was the rejection of the cross. You have to accept it. You have to believe. All through the Scriptures, it is God's grace through faith that we are saved. Not just by grace alone. Not just by grace alone. The sin that the world is committing that is an unforgivable sin is unbelief. The sin I committed for years that was an unforgivable sin was my unbelief. Once I believed, now I received of the work of the cross and was cleansed of all of my sins, past, present, and future tense. The sin of unbelief is the unpardonable sin. It's the rejection of Jesus and the cross. And the cross. Rejecting the convictions of the Holy Spirit in unbelief is the unforgivable sin. See, there are people today that say everybody's going to heaven. And everybody's not going to heaven. God wills for everybody to go to heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And God has made a way for everybody to go to heaven. There is no reason why everybody can't be saved. Won't be saved except saying no to God. And yet we live in a world and we're coming to the end of this over 2,000 year race. And there's a generation out there that has rejected Jesus, that has rejected His love, that's rejected the cross. They don't count the Son of God as a holy person, much less His blood as a holy thing. They do despite to the Spirit of grace that God says He loves them And out of his love, here's what I've done for you. I've made a way for you to spend eternity with me. But your sins have to be cleansed. And the only way to cleanse them is the blood of my son. You know, Christians are accused all over the world as being dogmatic, narrow-minded. What the world doesn't understand is it's not that we're dogmatic or narrow-minded. There's just only one way to God. It's Jesus Christ, his son. There's only one way to be cleansed of sin. Sin is real, and there's only one way to get rid of it. It's the blood of Jesus. And it's only the blood of Jesus. So to reject the sacrifice for all your sins says that you will be held accountable now for your sins forever. I understand confusion in the world. I've been there. I understand different measures of unbelief. I was there. When I met Sue, I really believed God couldn't love me. I really believed I went too far. I really believed, man, there's no hope for me. Man, I met God in 1965. Yes, young people, there was a 1965. And between 1977 and 1980, after 1976, the death of my brother, it wasn't that I went off into sin. It wasn't that I rejected God. It was that I just felt like such a failure, and I just can't measure up, and I can't live up. I didn't understand grace. That I just gave up on God. But see, what to this day amazes me is he never gave up on me. He truly never gave up on me. I don't speak from a position of conviction and biblical truth. I speak from a position of experience of thinking I went too far. And the minute I turned my heart to God, I get an open vision of the cross. How do you go from feeling like you blasphemed the Holy Spirit to a supernatural open vision of the cross where you see yourself in Jesus? You see the death of your old man supernaturally. Never had read it in the Bible or understood it if I ever heard it at church. And yet I get this revelation of I'm in this man. And I died with him when he died. I was buried with him when he was buried. And I was raised from the dead when he was raised from the dead. But it's not the old me that was raised from the dead, but a new me now united to Christ, seated in heavenly places, now ruling and reigning. What kind of love is this? Now I can't imagine rejecting it. I have failed and fallen short of the glory of God, but the sin that can't be forgiven is shaking your fist in the face of a holy, righteous God and saying, I don't need your son. That sin cannot be forgiven now or forever. Well, Pastor, that's the way I've felt and what I think I've been doing. You still breathing? Yeah, Pastor, I'm still breathing. Then I recommend believing. I recommend repenting of unbelief, and I recommend of saying to God, I am not going to commit an unforgivable sin. I'm not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit convicting me of my need for God. It's the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin, the sin of unbelief. And it's the Holy Spirit that is revealing to me right now, Jesus truly is the Son of God. He came and lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and took my place. He bore my sins. He bore my punishment and all of God's wrath for my sin. And I accept him as Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Now you may fall, you may fail, you may sin. But you can run to Jesus now, not from him, because he's your new Lord. And you can be forgiven of any sins once you've repented of the sin of unbelief. And now he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and doubteth not in his heart, but believeth that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you'll confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Man, that's good news. I need to quit. I got excited. See, when you see this, you talk about being a witness everywhere you go and to your families, because they want to talk about sins. And I won't engage with you over all your sins. God loves you. Next subject. Yeah, but what about this? God loves you. Next subject. Yeah, but what about that? Well, God loves you. Next subject. All I care about is getting to the one sin that you better not commit. And once we keep telling you, God loves you, God loves you, He saved you, Jesus died for you, Jesus covered that on the cross. Well then, is there anything I got to do? What shall I do that me and my house might be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be saved. For there's no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by Him. And that's not being dogmatic. That's the love of God making it so simple you can't miss it. Hallelujah. Call upon Jesus. All right. What is the grace and truth of it all? I thought that was good. What is the grace and truth of it all? Grace is Jesus died for our sins. The truth is, will you accept or reject? Receive or decline, believe or unbelieve. Grace says God loves you. The truth says, will you receive and love Him back? Grace says God made peace with us through the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. The truth says, will you be at peace now with God by faith? Grace says God has reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ at the cross. The truth says, will you be reconciled now by faith? Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but I think maybe I've committed this unforgivable sin. Maybe I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you think you've done it, you haven't done it. Because anybody that does it hates God. Anybody that does it rejects God. Amen. And I know most of you have stumbled and fallen multiple times. But I don't know any of you that has put the Son of God under your feet, trampled on the Son of God. I sure don't know any of you that have counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Even when you mess up, it's counting the blood of the covenant a holy thing that causes you to run to God and fess up and to receive now your forgiveness of anything you've messed up in. And I certainly don't believe anybody listening to me is done despite to the Spirit of grace. Because if you do despite to the Spirit of grace, you sure won't listen to me. Because it's the Spirit of grace that's on my life that's telling you how much God loves you. And if you'll just accept His love and receive it by faith, you can be forgiven of all your sins. Amen? Father, we are excited and happy to know You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes. Thank You for opening our ears and giving us even the faith, the gift of faith to call upon the Son of God. Thank You that the Holy Spirit is speaking to everyone within the sound of my voice that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Messiah. And I trust the Holy Spirit to convict everyone of sin, because they believe not on Jesus. I thank You for helping me to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen and amen. Praise God.